Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Defend DACA conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Karen Temlin. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you so much, Alexis. Good afternoon. My name is Karen Temlin, and I'm the legal director for the National Immigration Law Center. This morning, we saw that the Trump administration's zeal for pushing its xenophobic agenda reached a new, terrifying height when Attorney General Sessions announced the termination of DACA, a program that has been an unmitigated success. I'm so proud to be on the call today with some of the folks who were fighting back. Just minutes ago, we reignited an existing lawsuit in New York where we plan to ask the court to put the brakes on this harmful and shameful plan to terminate DACA. We've taken this step to defend the rights of folks like Martine, our 26-year-old plaintiff who is with us today on the line. Our filing has made two charges. First, that the administration's move to terminate DACA has violated the Administrative Procedures Act by leaving DACA recipients with no notice of this life-altering change. We also charge that this move violates the Equal Protection Clause and is in fact the latest step in a long and well-documented record of Trump's decision to terminate the DACA program is preceded by a well-documented record of racial animus directed at Mexicans and Latinos. My colleagues on the phone will share more about the specifics of these claims. I'd like to end by reminding people that in ending DACA, Trump has broken the law. We're now going to court to defend the rights of all DACA recipients. DACA recipients, through their fearless leadership, have created wider avenues to fight for justice and dignity for all of us, regardless of where we were born, the color of our skin, who we love, or how we pray. Now is the time to commit to fighting for our nation to live up to the values of justice and equality for all. I'd like to start by opening up and passing the floor to Martine Batalla Vidal, the named individual plaintiff in the lawsuit. Martine, take it away.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Martine Batalla Vidal. I'm also a member of Make the Row, and I'm also a New York resident. DACA has really changed my life for good. It allowed me to pursue my dreams of having an education and being able to help my parents. Like I always said from the beginning, they call us the dreamers, but at the end of the day, our parents are the dreamers. They left everything behind, their family, not being able to see one of their loved ones if they passed away. So basically, they sacrificed everything for us to have a better future. And those are the actual dreamers, that they left everything behind their families just for the kids to have a better future, something that they didn't have. And they wished to have, but they didn't have the opportunity. Also, DACA has taken me out the shadows. It allowed me to work legally in this country. And now that DACA is taken away, it's not fit for me or the 800,000 people that are DACA recipients. Like I said, we're immigrants. We make America great. That's what America is all about. The diversity of languages, religion, and everything put together with America, not American dream. Also, having laws of deferred action, it's devastating because now people that were like, for my personal life, I'm going to school, I was thinking about being a registered nurse, and things like that, like, everything stopped now. So now I got to think about it. What would happen once I graduate? Would I be able to actually work in the field that I studied for? And I feel like it's not fair But like I said, this is just the beginning. We are immigrants. It's not the first time we're here. And we will fight for it. I don't know what else I can say.
Thank you so much, Martin. I'd like to now turn the floor to Natalia Avistizabal, the co-director of organizing at Make the Road New York.
Hi, everyone. I want to thank everyone who's on the call right now and is taking the time to hear our story, the immigrant community story, and our story of struggle and fighting back and resiliency. Today, we saw Attorney General, Jeff Sessions from the Department of Justice announce and say that DACA was unlawful and say that this is their way to keep America safe and to make sure that in reality what he was saying is that our community is pushed back and neglected. This is a policy that's being moved forward out of exclusion for the community. We know the majority of people who currently benefit from DACA are Latinos and specifically Mexicans, and the current administration, while in the elections, was specifically targeting the Mexican community. So we will not sit back and weigh how the attack on communities of color and the white supremacy agenda continues. We will take it to the streets, as I am right now in Washington, D.C., rallying and protesting. We will take it to the courts. We will take it to Congress, and we will keep our fighting, because our humanity is not just a piece of paper or working permits. Our humanity is not only about how much we contribute to this country in terms of monetary, but our humanity is based on the fact that we have dignity and love and respect and family members, and have made the fabric of what U.S. is and what makes it so great. So I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to pass it on to the next speakers, but we're ready to fight, and we're here to stay.
Thank you so much, Natalia. And I am going to pass the floor to my colleague, David Chen, who is a law student intern at the Worker and Immigrant Rights Advocacy Clinic at the Yale Law School. David is going to paint a picture for you all of the legal claims that were filed today on behalf of Martin and Make the Road New York. David?
Thank you, Karen. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for everybody for being on the call. I'll speak just a bit in detail about the legal arguments that were made in this case. The Trump administration's decision today to terminate DACA is not only cruel, it's unlawful. It violates federal statute by arbitrarily and capriciously revoking a longstanding policy without reasoned explanation. And it violates the constitutional guarantees of equal protection because it is motivated by prejudice towards Latinos and specifically Mexican people. So first, federal law requires, specifically the Administrative Procedure Act, requires that when the government abruptly reverses a longstanding policy like DACA, it must provide a reasoned explanation for that change. The government has not provided an adequate reason, instead making the erroneous assertion that does not have the authority to keep DACA, even though no court has decided on the legality of the 2012 DACA program. The government's reasoning in support of terminating DACA is legally indefensible. Attorney General Sessions bases his conclusion on, quote, potentially imminent litigation, which he claims would, quote, likely result in a judicial order invalidating DACA. But this reasoning is arbitrary and capricious and violates the Administrative Procedure Act. In fact, DACA is lawful, and its hypothetical challenge by other parties is an invalid ground on which to abandon the program. Second, the termination of DACA is motivated by unconstitutional prejudice against Latino immigrants, who will bear the overwhelming brunt of the termination. From his candidacy up until now, Trump has consistently deployed hateful and stigmatizing language towards Latino and particular Mexican people. He has called them rapists and criminals. Just last month at a rally in Phoenix, he made sweeping statements implying Mexicans were gang members and animals. Today's decision is just another act consistent with the president's prejudices, and such racial animus is inconsistent with the Constitution's guarantee of equal protection. And so the bravery of Mr. Batalla Vidal and of the members of Make the Road New York today reveal that young immigrants will not recede into the shadows as the Trump administration would like them to do. They're here to stay and will continue fighting today's callous and unlawful decisions, and it's a privilege for the Worker and Immigrant Rights Advocacy Clinic to be standing by them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, David. Alexis, we are ready to take questions. If you could please provide folks information on how they queue up.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and the one on your touch tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and the one on your touch tone phone. We will pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take our first question from Ariane DeVoe with CNN. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks so much. I had two questions. The first one, you said that you are reigniting a lawsuit. Can you speak a little bit about that and say where that has been filed? And then can you go over the two grounds you're suing on? Because there's some on the other side that says that these DACA licenses were always subject to review, et cetera. So the other side sort of makes it sound as if they could be challenged, and I want to get a better sense of that.
Great. Thank you so much, Ariane. I'll start it off, and then, David, I'm going to pass it over to you as well. So what we have filed today is in Martine's case in the Eastern District of New York. We have filed what's called a pre-motion conference letter in the case that was initially brought about a year ago with this team that's on the phone today. We're seeking to amend the lawsuit in order to add the new claims that David articulated under the Administrative Procedures Act and the Equal Protection Racial Animus claim. So that's kind of the first piece, Ariane. David, would you like to pick it up from there?
Yeah, absolutely. I can take the second part of your question and go over the two grounds on which the two types of claims that we are seeking to add to the complaint. So the first is based upon a federal statute, the Administrative Procedure Act, which basically requires that when the federal government abruptly reverses a longstanding policy like DACA, they need to provide adequate, the legal standard is adequate reasons so that it is not arbitrary and capricious. And basically, the Administrative Procedure Act is designed to protect against the government from acting arbitrarily and on a whim, reversing policy that upends the lives of thousands of people, which is exactly what they have done here. The reasons that the that Attorney General Sessions has given for rescinding DACA are not adequate and show that this action is arbitrary and capricious. He bases his claims on what he believes is potentially imminent litigation that he believes would likely result in a judicial order against DACA, but the no court that the question of whether DACA is illegal is not before any court currently, so that reasoning is legally indefensible. And then the second claim that we are seeking to add to our complaint is based upon the Equal Protection Guarantee in the Constitution, which forbids policies that are motivated by racial animus and prejudice. And there has been well-documented history of President Trump expressing hatred against Latino people and particularly Mexican people. And this is one act that is consistent with President Trump's prejudices. And for those reasons, though we believe that his rescission of DACA today is unlawful.
Great. Alexis, can we have the next question, please?
We'll take our next question from Kartike Mohorda from Bloomberg. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Marocha, you just answered my question. I'm just going to have a look at this filing and maybe queue up again.
All right. We'll take our next question from Adam Classfield with Courthouse News. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. One question in hearing the argument about how Trump's prejudices might provide a grounds to defend DACA. It reminds me a bit of the challenge to the travel ban, and I was wondering if you could speak to the parallels there that courts found that statements that Trump made on the campaign trail and in office were ultimately evidence that could be used for an injunction.
Sure. I can start, and others should chime in if they'd like. You know, absolutely. The equal protection claim that we are seeking to add in this case is reminiscent of the kind of claims that many of the folks on this phone have been bringing in the Muslim ban litigation. First and foremost, Trump is a candidate who made a hallmark of his campaign attacking Mexicans and alleging that as a group of people that they were criminals and rapists, right? And so today when you have the Attorney General undoing a program that has been nothing but an unmitigated success with the barest fig leaf of a reason to do so, it is absolutely within the purview of the courts to find that a substantial motivating factor, in fact, for undoing the DACA program is the racial animus against Mexicans and Latinos that the president has put forward as a part of his campaign and has followed up on when he took the oath of office. David or Natalia, anything you want to add, or shall we move on?
I will just add, this is Natalia again, that as somebody who works day in and day out with the Mexican community and the Latino community, we all felt the attacks heightened since the election, since the campaigns were moving forward, and we saw how his direct attacks to specifically the Mexican community and therefore all of us as Latinos manifested in schools and manifested at the workplace in many ways, and we have documented those experiences for our members. So we felt it on the ground. We felt the direct attacks of the platform that he was setting up or allowing folks to expose on that is bluntly based on racism and xenophobia.
Hi, this is David. I would only add that it's pretty clear that the rescission of this policy, the burden of this rescission is going to fall overwhelmingly on Latino and particularly Mexican immigrants, and so I'm sure that the effect of this this rescission is not lost on the Trump administration whatsoever.
Great, and just because Martin, I know that you have to actually hop off of the call in a little bit. Is there anything that you would like to add on this question, as someone who was born in Mexico and experiences life as a Latino? And just for the reporters, before Martin jumps in, he will be available to be contacted through Make the Road later. Martin, are you still on? Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry.
Okay, just anything you want to add on the piece about our legal claim that the decision today was motivated by animus against Latinos and Mexicans specifically, anything from your own experience?
Yeah, I feel like this decision was a direct attack on immigrants. Immigrants, like myself, a family. Like you were saying earlier, since the beginning of his campaign, Trump always said the Mexicans were immigrants, but that we were rapers, we were gang members, we were everything. So I feel like this was with immigrants, and like I said, since we're not white people, he don't care about. And also this deferred actions, he allowed everyone to come out the shadows, have a job. It opened me opportunities that being undocumented, I wasn't allowed to. So with this in mind, I'm saying that, you know, I'm still in shock because I'm at work and I'm like, oh. But like I said, la gente mira, we will fight and eventually we will win.
Thank you so much, Mark.
No problem.
Thank you so much, Martin. Alexis, we can take the next question when you're ready.
And we'll take our next question from Josh Gierstein with Politico. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. It's Josh Gierstein at Politico. I had two questions. One is, earlier today, Marilena from your group said that while you felt that this was based on racial animus, that Sessions' comments seem to confirm that. And I'm just wondering what if you can expand on what did you mean that? Did you hear Sessions to say something that was explicitly or implicitly racist? And then the other thing I'd like to know is, well, that's the first. Can you do that question first?
Sure. David, do you want to take a first stab at that? Why Sessions' announcement today only gives more strength to the equal protection claim that we're raising?
Yeah, sure. Sessions' announcement today really doesn't change any of the comments that that President Trump has made that he consistently has done, and so because this act is in line with the types of comments that President Trump has made on his campaign trail and as recently as about a month ago in Phoenix, there's no reason to suspect that the decision to recede in the DACA is anything but a pretextual prejudice against Latino and Mexican individuals.
And can you talk a little bit about your confidence in the success of either this lawsuit or other cases that could be filed on behalf of individual Dreamers? I'm trying to get a sense of how advocates for this policy should expend their efforts or direct their energies. Would you be suggesting that people should focus most of their attention on the litigation solution or on some other solution?
I mean, I think I'll start with Karen, Josh. I mean, first and foremost, you know, and as Martine himself said, right, like this is today is a horrible day, right? It is the most urgent need today is to understand and absorb what has happened. What has happened for 800,000 young people? Exactly how will renewals and applications be treated, and really getting a handle around that. And so, you know, for us as immigrants' rights advocates, that is our first responsibility today is that information, including, for example, right, continued information that is coming out of the White House now that the Department of Homeland Security is saying that they will use the confidential information that was provided in people's applications in order to go after them and potentially their families and deport them. So our number one task is really around, you know, educating and making sure that the young people affected have information they need about how to proceed. And then in terms of legislation and litigation, et cetera, our role as the legal team here for Martine and Make the Road is, you know, we intend to fight with every ounce that we can and side by side with DACA recipients to ensure that this program remains in place. We certainly hope that our elected representatives in Congress as well as in states stand up and do their part to make sure that these young people and their families are protected.
And Natalia, is there anything you'd like to add on this question from Make the Road's perspective?
Can you repeat the question again?
Should we be focused, how do we balance the focusing on legislative efforts as well as litigation efforts in the world that we're in with the termination of DACA announced today?
Yeah, I think that now more than ever, it's key that we're strategic. Fortunately, we've learned that this fight can be successful when we create ties. So while our lawyers, who I love dear, will be inside the courtrooms, we will be outside chanting, and we will be in the halls of Congress. We will also be pushing forward for legislation that does not sell out community and that does not come with other pieces that will affect the broader undocumented community. So we will not allow Dreamers and undocumented folks to be a bargaining chip so that the racists and the white nationalists can obtain their agenda.
Thanks, Natalia. Alexis, I think we're ready for the next question.
And we'll take our next question from Lawrence Hurley with Reuters. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Yeah, I just had one quick question about Maria Elena on the earlier call had said something about litigation involving the privacy concerns about DACA recipients' information being passed on to immigration enforcement. So it doesn't seem to to me, I haven't had a chance to look at this in full, but it doesn't seem like that's in this. But I was just wondering if you have other litigation you might be thinking of.
David, do you want to start? I can fill in if you'd like.
Yeah, sure, and feel free to add on. The pre-motion conference letter that we filed today is specific to seeking permission to amend our complaint to challenge the 2012 DACA rescission to the extent that that DACA recipients have relied on the government's assurances that they would not use the information that these individuals have provided against them and use them to try to find them and deport them. That certainly supports our legal argument that this is a policy that DACA recipients have continuously relied on. At the same time, the letter that we filed is the first step towards amending our complaint. It does not exactly amend anything into the lawsuit. We certainly can't necessarily comment on it exactly. We don't know what the final form of our claims will look like.
Great. I think that's perfect. David, the only thing I'd add, I think that's all precisely right. You can see how in our Administrative Procedure Act claims, we have talked about this reliance that David was mentioning that of DACA recipients and coming forward and providing all this information to the government about themselves and their family members, that would be safeguarded. And certainly, you know, as the situation continues to unfold and we hear more from the Department of Homeland Security about their plans to potentially use that information that should have been safeguarded and protected to round people up for deportation, we'll certainly explore all legal options in the case to make sure that promise that the federal government made to DACA applicants is not broken.
Alexis, are there any further questions in the queue at this time?
And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, then I think what I'd like to say is just to remind folks that Martin had to go back to work. He will be available after 5 o'clock Eastern via Make the Road in order to answer any follow-up questions. Appreciate everyone joining the call today, and thank you for being with us on this very difficult day for immigrant youth. I think that concludes our call.